little child in our church this morning handed me a note as I came to the pulpit. Said, "Dear Pastor Hiles, I wish there was 6,000 in Sunday school, and I wish there would be 2,000 people saved this month. I wish there would be 1,000 baptized this month. Please pray for my Uncle James and his wife Sandy so they can be saved. I'm glad to be at First Baptist Church. I hope that I can be a pastor like you are, your friend, Ricky." Isn't that sweet? I hope there can be 1,000 saved too. And I hope this morning many of them, or many of you, will come to know Christ as your Savior. You've heard me say this many times from this pulpit. Of all the people we have saved, and all the folks that walk the aisle, and of all the people we have baptized, there's one thing that haunts me above every other thing. And that is that people would come, walk these aisles, get baptized, and not really be born again. Now, I do not think that you can, because you have a lot coming, you're more likely to have a smaller or bigger percentage of unsaved people who join the church. But I do believe in a church like this, because of our diligence, and because of our emphasis on the gospel, and because of the fact that God's hand is obviously upon this church, I believe it'd be very easy for us to have people slip through our fingers. You'll come on and become baptized, names on the church roll, but not really born of the Spirit of God. And so this morning I want to speak to you on what I think is the greatest tragedy in the church. The greatest tragedy of all is that some people sit on the pews of our churches with their names on the church roll, and yet who've not really been born again. The Bible says that Satan comes and sows tares among the wheat. In other words, right beside a blade of wheat, there is a tare. Now, what is a tare? Well, my old illustration I've used again and again and again here is appropriate. You've heard me tell about in the World War II days when I was in the Army, the paratroopers. And they called Reveille one morning, and I wanted to sleep a little late, so I didn't get up and dress. I just put my overcoat on over me. And we walked out for Reveille, and I had my cap, my overcoat on, and I was back in the back of the line. I was in the last squad, and they couldn't see my legs sticking out, and besides, I had my boots on, and just about that much of my legs were showing, and nobody could see. And so I'd done it before, but this particular morning, the sergeant obviously had been tipped off to someone, and he walked back, and he said, "Hiles, open your coat." And so I opened my coat, and I came to myself. And there was me. Now, on the outside, I looked like everybody else. But on the inside, it was a great deal different. Now, a tare is a person who looks like a Christian, who talks like a Christian, who acts like a Christian, who lives like a Christian, and whom people would think is a Christian. But on the inside, he's not been born again. Now, a tare is not a drinking church member. A tare is not a backslidden church member. A tare is not one who never comes to Sunday school. A tare is not one who refuses to tithe. A tare is the best church member who's there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, teaches a Sunday school class maybe. Perhaps he tithes. Perhaps he's on the deacon board. Perhaps he's on the staff. Perhaps he's one of the finest folks in the church. Don't let the folks come in while I'm preaching. Have the fellows go to the junior churches, please. Ushers, do this now. Help me on this matter. Be alert and be sure that we don't have interruptions. Folks back in the back were looking around. And a tare looks like the wheat. Nobody knows that the tare is not wheat. Honestly, if people were to predict who the unsaved church members are, they'd never predict the tare. For our Lord says that while men sleep, Satan comes and he sows right beside a blade of wheat, a tare. And they look so much alike that no man can tell the difference. Now, I want to call your attention to several things this morning about this awful tragedy. You know, there's a reason why, one reason why I'm preaching this sermon this morning. I do not want any person in this church to go to hell. Now, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell, but especially, I do not want my own deacons to go to hell. I do not want my own staff to go to hell. I do not want my own Sunday school teachers to go to hell. I do not want my own people, my own young people. If you are not born again, And if your name is on this church roll, then I'm more concerned about you than anybody in the whole world. You're my own people. I love you. I live for you. I preach to you 3 times a week, and to many of you on the radio more than that. And I want you to be saved. I want you to know you're saved. I want you to be sure you're born again. And especially in these days. You know, in the last few days, our world has suffered a terrible earthquake. Hundreds and hundreds of people killed in the country of Turkey in a terrible earthquake. Do you know what a scientist said? One who knows? That the same fault that was in that mountain or in the underneath the ground in Turkey that caused that earthquake goes all the way to the Holy Land and even to the Mount of Olives. Now listen carefully. The Bible says in the end time that the Mount of Olives will cleave in twain. And there will be an awful earthquake at the Mount of Olives, so it'll divide the mount and make a valley through the mount so that there can be water go from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea. Now, and do you know in recent days, though you don't read about this in the newspaper, in recent days, do you know there have been small quakes already underneath the Mount of Olives? In the small print, oftentimes in the newspaper and other places where I've read and people to whom I've talked, there is almost a constant quaking under the Mount of Olives today. And the earthquake in Turkey that took so many hundreds of lives is a part of the same fault that goes right down to the Mount of Olives. Now, I believe, dear friends, we're living in the last hours of this dispensation. I don't think you have long to be saved. Now, I want every person in this house this morning to examine yourself. Now, not your neighbor. I want you to quit praying for someone else right now. I want you to quit praying for someone. I want myself to examine myself. I want the folks on the platform to examine themselves. I want every person in this house this morning to ask yourself one question. Am I wheat or am I a tare? Am I wheat or am I a tare? Now, let's examine the parable, if you would please. In the first place, the tares are sown together. I read for you, and I'll ask you not to turn to it, but I read for you, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy, that's Satan, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. They're sown together. Here's an invitation time. Two people come down the aisle. They come down the same aisle. I meet both of them. One person comes and he gets born again. The other just joins the church. Here are two people who get in the baptistry here. I baptize both of them. I baptize both the same day. One is born again. The other just joins the church. One is wheat and the other is a tare. Now, how are these sown? They're sown together. But how does it come that some people are tares and some are wheat? Some join the church and live like Christians, talk like Christians, act like Christians, even pray like Christians, read their Bible like Christians, even go soul winning like Christians, but they're not really born again. How does this happen? Well, many things could cause it. Perhaps a children's service someone went to, and someone persuaded you, overly persuaded you, to walk the aisle. You did not really get born again. You just joined the church or walked the aisle. Maybe you felt a need to join the church. Maybe one day you came to church and you thought, now everybody ought to join a church, and I'll join the church. You came down the aisle. You did not get born again. You were not saved. You just joined the church. Maybe one time, you came down to get saved, but no one dealt with you. I am concerned, I am vitally concerned about these churches that invite folks to come down the aisle to be saved. They come down the aisle, stick a card in their face, they fill this card out, no one prays with them, no one takes the Bible and shows them how to be saved. Maybe that was you. You came down the aisle, you wanted to be saved. You felt conviction. There was a need, a burden. Your sins were heavy upon your heart. And you came down the aisle, but you did not receive the Savior. You did not receive Christ. You were not born again. And while others were born again, a tare was sown beside the wheat. They're sown together, so often sown together. Satan's greatest work, ladies and gentlemen, is not the drunkard in the gutter. Satan's greatest work is not the lady who lives in the red light district. Satan's greatest work is not the backslidden church member who never comes. The greatest work of Satan is placing in a church like this, a good church like this, people who have not been born again.
who come faithfully. They sing in the choir. They teach Sunday school. They give their offering. They sing solos. They may even preach sermons. But they've not been born again. May I ask you a question? Are you wheat or are you a tare? Oh, you say, preacher, I've been a church member all my life. I didn't ask you that. I said, have you been born again? Oh, you said my dad was a deacon. But have you been born again? But you say, preacher, I'm a good person. I don't drink or swear or cuss. But I ask you, have you been born again? Why, you say, preacher, I was confirmed when I was a child. But the question I ask you, have you been born again? Not your neighbor. Not the one that's in front. One lady wrote me a letter this week and said, pray for so-and-so. He cusses like a satyr. I'm afraid he's a lost church member. Now, he may be. He may be. But I want you to notice that a tare is sown where the wheat is. God doesn't go to a church that doesn't preach the new birth and sow tares. Tares are sown among the wheat. And you're more likely to find people in a church like this who've not been born again, who are tares, than perhaps in a church that does not preach the gospel. Because the tares are sown among the wheat. Let me ask you a question now. Are you a wheat or are you a tare? Are you a church member or have you been saved? Young people, have you been born again? Mothers, have you been born again? Fathers, have you been born again? Church members, have you been born again? Deacons, have you been born again? Staff members, have you been born again? Choir, have you been born again? Brother Hiles, have you been born again? From this pulpit down to the last member of this church, ask yourself, have I been born again? And I sing with the writer, I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I have been born again. Doesn't matter how many churches you join. Doesn't matter how many good deeds you perform. Doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. The question is, have you yielded yourself in faith to the finished work of Christ on the cross? And has the Holy Spirit of God regenerated you? Are you born again? That's the question. And so the tares are sown among the wheat. But there's something else I want you to notice in this parable. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not know so good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. They're grown together. They go to the same Sunday school classes. They teach in the same department. They sit on the same deacon board. They sit in the same staff meeting. They sit in the same choir practice. They sit in the same department. They sit in the same WMS. But a whole person been born again, a blade of wheat, and right beside him there's a tare. No one suspects it, for they're grown together. Both go to Sunday school. Both go back to church on Sunday night. Both go to church on Wednesday night. Both say their prayers. Both have family altars. Both testify. Both are deacons. Both belong to the church. And yet one is wheat and another is tare. Listen. There are people in this room this morning by the dozens who are sitting right beside someone who's not been born again. Oh, don't misunderstand me. They're good. And you would never suspect it's that one. You never would. Because that one looks like wheat, prays like wheat, reads the Bible like wheat, teaches like wheat, sings like wheat. But an enemy hath sown the tares beside the wheat. They grow together. In fact, the Bible says only the angels know them. The householder said, Let me get the sickle. Let me get a knife here. Let me go cut down the tares. And the Lord said, No, you don't know which is the tares and which is the wheat. You don't know. Why, here's Earl Duke sitting on the front row, a deacon in our church, one of the finest men we have, a godly man. One time was chairman of the board of deacons in another church. Chairman, weren't you, Earl? Deacon chairman, pulpit committee chairman, everything. Almost ran the place. And a good man, fine deacon in our church, a barber, and witness to folks in the barber chair. And yet one day Earl came down the aisle and said, Brother Hiles, I do not know I'm saved. I've got to be saved. Time and time again that's happened. Time and time again. Men on our deacon board. Why? Because the devil puts the tares that looked like the wheat right among the wheat. Oh, my precious member of First Baptist Church, if you don't know you're saved, be saved. My precious visiting friend, if you do not know that you're born again, be born again before you leave. How foolish it is. You see, before long, you get where you try to deceive yourself. You deceive your own self. What you say? Well, I don't remember all that happened, but I just feel in my heart like I'm saved. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for the opportunity or chance of a person getting to heaven who says, I think I'm saved, but don't know when it happened. Now, to me, that just doesn't ring a bell with me. If I could not stand up here and tell you this morning, now, I'd maybe not know the month or the day of the month, but if I could not stand and say, I was here, and I was doing this, and someone told me how to be saved, and I got born again, and I know it. If I couldn't do that, I'd trot myself as pastor of this church down this aisle this morning. I'd get on my knees beside a godly deacon with his Bible open. I'd pray the sinner's prayer, and I'd say, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. I'd 10,000 times rather be embarrassed here at this altar today than be embarrassed someday at the great white throne judgment of God when all the universe says Hiles really wasn't saved. I recall that day in Garland, Texas, when I was one day having an invitation, and suddenly the piano stopped playing the invitation. I turned, as you know I do, and pointed and said, play! And Dorothy Lyons said, the pianist, the wife of our assistant pastor, said, I can't play. Down she came to kneel at the altar and get born again. The pianist in our church! I will recall that day when Bill Harvey, the gospel singer who was with me in Texas for a couple of years and one of the greatest gospel singers in the world, recalled the invitation one day when Bill said to somebody else, take the songbook, I've got to go to the altar. And there he was born of the Spirit of God. Oh, let me plead with you. Let me plead with you. If you do not know that you're saved, if Jesus came this afternoon, do you know you'd rise to meet the Lord in the air? If death were to overtake you, ere the sun would rise tomorrow morning, do you know you'd be in heaven? Oh, this is nothing to play with. This is nothing to change. This is nothing to hope for. This is something to know. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you've been born again? I recall I was preaching. By the way, Satan always imitates the real. I was down in Lake Louise, Georgia, preaching several years ago at a conference. Oh, it's been about 13 years ago now. And a preacher, an old preacher, a white-haired preacher, he fell in love with me. I want you to know, he really thought I was a cat's meow. And he followed me around all week long. First sermon I preached, he said, that's the best I ever heard. That's the best I ever heard. And I thought, I didn't say it, but I thought, now there's a fellow who really knows preaching when he hears it. And he kept following me around and following me around. And I'd eat, and there he'd be right across the table or beside me, one or the other. An old preacher, white hair. And all week long. And finally, the last service I was there, he said, I've been wanting to ask you something all week. And I said, what? Well, he said, I've been wanting to talk to you about something. He said, boy, you're the greatest preacher I ever heard. Well, you know, everybody likes to hear that every once in a while. And I said, thank you, sir. Thank you. I said, what is it? You having trouble in the church? No, I'm not having trouble in the church. Well, are you looking for a church? No, I'm not looking for a church. Well, I said, you need some advice or counsel about preaching? He said, no, I don't need any counsel about preaching. I said, what is it? He said, I want to get born again. That's what it is. And that old white-haired preacher preached for a lifetime, had a Scopia Bible, preached the blood, preached salvation by grace. He didn't waver from the truth. He was a God-fearing man, but he had never been born again. And that old white-haired preacher knelt beside me after a lifetime in the ministry and received the Savior. I would not call his name for anything because he was a very famous man in the state of Indiana. One of the most famous preachers that this state turned out. I was in the home 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, of the late Dr. Walter Wilson. Remember the old Dr. Wilson, the medical doctor preacher that was so beloved across America? I was preaching in Kansas City, and Dr. Wilson heard about it. And he called me on the phone in my motel room and said, Dr. Hiles, I'd like to have you over to eat with Mrs. Wilson and me. Well, Dr. Wilson's wife died a few years ago, and he married again. And he married a lady about half his age. I mean, he was in his 80s, and she must have been about 40. And she's the lady who told me the story when I was at her house about that Dr. Wilson used
extract of beef in his coffee. Extract of beef? And she said, he started peculiar, use extract of beef in his coffee. And I said, oh, that sounds terrible. Well, she said, you may call it milk. She said, but anyway, I was in the home that day, and Dr. Wilson and his wife, God bless her, she was about 40 and he was in his 80s. They were holding hands there at the table and everything. And Dr. Wilson told me a story. He told me a story about one of the most famous preachers in this world. A man whose name, if I called his name, you would know it immediately. He lived less than 125 miles from where I'm standing right now. And Dr. Wilson said, Brother Hiles, I was there when he died. And this famous preacher, when he died, if I wish I could call his name, because I won't. I mean, I could tell you it now, but I wouldn't dare, because it would bring reproach on him. But he said, when he died, I was there, and this preacher, a famous preacher, I dare say the most famous preacher in this state, when he was alive, he looked up at me and said, Dr. Wilson, I'm going to hell. I'm lost. I've not been born again. All across this world this morning, teachers stood with Bibles open before little boys and girls who taught classes who had never been born again. This morning in the great Calumet area in great Chicagoland, literally thousands of men walked down aisles with collection plates under their arms to take offerings who had never been born again. Literally thousands of people stood in choirs this morning or standing in choirs this morning all across the Chicago area and all across America to sing songs about Christ who know nothing about the new birth. Let the call always ring forth from this pulpit the words of our Savior, ye must be born again. Well, Dr. George Whitfield preached 3,000 times on the subject, ye must be born again. When he was up in years, somebody asked him, Mr. Whitfield, why did you preach so much on ye must be born again? And Mr. Whitfield said, because ye must be born again. That's why. And let the people of our church always be willing to examine themselves and give an account for the hope within us that we're wheat and not tares. They are sown together. They are grown together. But in the third place, they're known together. They're known together. I read again from the parable. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now the day is going to come when you'll get found out. Now you may fool the preacher this morning, but you'll not fool anybody in the end time. You may fool the Sunday school teachers or class members or deacon board or staff or choir this morning, but you'll not fool anybody in the end time. On that awful day, the angels will come, and they'll gather first the tares. And there'll be two sitting here in the same class, and the tares will be taken and cast into hell, and the wheat gathered into the home that Christ has prepared for those who've been born again. Oh, let me ask myself this morning, Jack Hiles, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Your name is on the church roll over here. Your name is on the stationery, Pastor, First Baptist Church of Hammond. Have you been born again? Lindsay Terry, Charles Hand, and Cal Streeter, and John Colston, ask yourselves, have I been born again? Staff members and deacons, ask yourself, have I been born again? Oh, the folly of because of embarrassment, not willing to admit the fact that we have just joined a church. The folly of taking a chance on your soul forever. The lost, burning, screaming, crying, lost, without God, without hope, forever. Because you acted. In the Bible, as I said last Sunday night, in the Bible, the word hypocrite means actor. Actor. You're performing well. Are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If that flaw or fault in that Turkish mountain that caused suddenly earth open up and swallow hundreds of people in sudden death, if that flaw or that fault were to go on down today, the Mount of Olives, And if this morning or before the sun would set this evening, if that Mount of Olives were to begin its quake, and the dead in Christ would rise, and the trumpet of God would sound, and time would be no more. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? You've been born again. That's why the Apostle Peter wrote, "Therefore, brethren, make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure." Oh, I wish I had time this morning. I wish I had time this morning to ask every person in this house to stand and walk behind this pulpit and tell these people about your conversion. Are you a wheat? Or are you a tare? Are you a wheat? Or are you a tare? Ask yourself, have I been born again? And that day it won't matter whether you're a preacher. And that day it won't matter if you were a deacon. And that day it won't matter if you taught a Sunday school class or not. And that day it won't matter whether you own the building or you swept out the place. And that day it won't matter whether you own the bank or the custodian of the bank. And that day it won't matter whether you wrote in Greek and Hebrew and Spanish and German and French, or whether you said, "I have did and I have saw and I seen and I did and I done." It won't matter. The only thing that will matter is your name written in the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life? Are you wheat or are you tare? Are you wheat or are you tare? You'll be known. May God help you to admit it now. Ere the day come when the angels gather together the tares. And in that day, the streeter, I can see it now. Maybe we're meeting here for church service. The angels come and gather the wheat, the tares. And we say, "No. What? Him? Oh, no. I never would have thought it. He sang in the choir. He was a good man. Oh, no! Not him. Her? Oh, no. She was my Sunday school teacher. No! Not her!" Yes, sir. Because the Bible says when the books are open, the Lord is not going to say those not found written on the church roll, but those not found written in the book of life. Are you wheat? Or are you tare? Ask yourself that. Not me, not your neighbor. Ask yourself that. Are you wheat? Or are you tare? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Draw a circle around yourself. Be honest for one time with yourself. Draw a circle around yourself. Teenagers, do it. Adults, do it. Draw a circle around yourself. And look yourself in the eye and say, or ask yourself, have you been born again? Have you been born again? How many of you can say, "Brother Hiles, I just asked myself"? And I'll be honest with you, preacher, I know as sure as I'm sitting in my pew this morning, as sure as I'm sitting in this pulpit, I know I'm born again. If I had to, I could stand up and tell you about it. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the house. All over the house. Keep your hands up. I want to say a word to those whose hands are down. If your hand is down now, first let me thank you for being honest. Now would you go a step further and be good to yourself? Would you right where you are say, "Oh my God, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die without Christ. Oh God, be merciful to me this morning." Would you do it? You can drop your hands. Now would you be just that honest again? Would you be just that honest again? Would you say, "Preacher, I could not raise my hand and say I know I've been born again, but I'll be honest with you, I wish I could. I want to be born again. I want to know that I'm saved. I wish I could raise my hand, for I want to know. Preacher, would you have a prayer for me?" Now, I won't call your name. I just want to see your hand and pray for you that God will give you the assurance today that you're born again. First on the lower floor, how many would raise your hand and say, "Brother Hiles, I have a soul. I've got to go somewhere when I die. I do not know where I'm going, but I want to know. I want to know. My never-dying soul has to live somewhere forever. I want it to be heaven. Would you pray for me that I may know that I'm saved?" Yes, I will. On the lower floor, raise your hand way up high. Way up high. God bless you. 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 Over here on my right, God bless you. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. God bless you back in the back. God bless you way in the back. God bless these three back here on my right in the back. God bless you over here on my right. Who else on the lower floor? Preacher, I could not. Yes, God bless you back in the back, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Yes. I could not raise my hand, but I've got a soul, and I've got to go somewhere and live forever. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Raise your hand, please. On the lower floor. Who else? God bless you, lady. Visitors. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Catholics, Lutherans. If you're not saved, you want to be, raise your hand on the lower floor, please. God bless you over here. God bless the way back in the back. God bless those four. God bless you over here on my right. Yes, I see you. Who else? On the lower floor. God bless you, son. I see your hand. Who else on the lower floor? You're tired of acting. You want to know. You want to know. You may know. Raise your hand, please. On the lower floor. Way up high. Raise your hand. May I see it, please? God bless you back in the back. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Members of our church, deacons, Sunday school teachers, others, visitors, anyone, you don't know you're saved, raise your hand and say, pray for me. May I see your hand? In the balcony on my left, the east balcony, raise your hand and say, pray for me. God bless you. I want to be saved and know it. Raise your hand, please. The east balcony, God bless you. Who else? Raise your hand. The east balcony, raise your hand. Quickly, would you lift it? The center balcony. Yes, God bless you, lady. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Who else in the center balcony? You want to know you're saved. God bless you, lady. God bless you, lady. God bless you, lady. Yes, several big adults, big men, and some fine ladies. Who else in the center balcony? Pray for me. I want to know I'm saved. God bless you, lady. I see you. God bless you, little one. God bless you. The balcony on my right. God bless you. And you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Five or six, yes, seven, eight, nine, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Are there others on the lower floor? Our Heavenly Father, this morning I call heaven and earth to witness this service. I call the angels who someday will come and take the tares and separate them from the wheat to this invitation hour. May the separation come today. And may these step out and say we're going to make our calling an election sure. Today we're going to settle it for God. Oh God, don't let anybody walk out these doors not saved today. In these days, a special revival emphasis. In these days, a special evangelistic messages and songs. May the Spirit of God speak to the hearts of all the people, and may there be a moving that hundreds shall be saved, many others shall gain assurance. Our heads are bowed. Now listen carefully. Don't miss it. Right where you are. Right where you are. If your hand was raised, say this to God silently. Oh God. Say it. Oh God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Say it now. Sir, say it. Lady, say it. Young person, say it. Child, say it. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me now. Save me now. This moment, I receive the living Christ into my life by faith. Would you do it? Would you do it? Now, if you will, we're going to stand and sing in just a minute. I want you in the balcony and on the lower floor. Every hand that was raised and those who were not, who should have. I want you to leave your seat. I want you to burst toward the aisle. I want you to come down to the front and let me know this morning you're willing to settle it once and for all. You're coming to Christ and accepting Him. If you're here this morning, you've been saved but not baptized, you come. If you want to join the church by transfer, you come. But why don't we one time in this great church with 5,000 people around these buildings and some of these church services, all of these church services in Sunday school, why don't we just say, all of us are going home today on our way to heaven and knowing it. Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? On the first stanza, Would you come? Father, give us, we pray, the power of God in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand, please? As the choir sings the first stanza, members of this church, visitors, members of any church, or no church at all, if your name is not in heaven, if you're not born again, leave your seat, come to the aisle, down the front, and let's settle it now, ere we leave this morning. Come while we sing, in the balcony, on the...